How about those Swannies, eh?
Wow. Jimmy, buddy.
Cheer the red and the white.
Oh, Jimmy. How's that foot in mouth going, buddy?
I've actually got a bit of a sore throat. What a win. This comes the art of coaching, I think, for Chris Scott, because in his coaching panel, he'd be sitting there going, yeah, all the coach talk, we won all the KPIs, we did everything, but we lost the game. It'd be so bizarre being a coach in that situation. Did you go down to the midfield, go, okay, you smashed them in contested footy, forwards, you had a lot of it, back. We did tend to a pretty low score, but we still lost, and probably they lost the moment, really. That's all it came down to. But the Swans are awesome. After quarter time, they just shut them down. They hung tough, as we know. They knew the Swans, but... he's an interesting finish, to say the least.
That's what I was going to ask, Jimmy. After the first quarter, the Swans being down, especially for the youngsters more than the senior boys, how much now does that boost their confidence moving forward to be able to turn that around?
Yeah, it's massive, because remember how they lost the game against the Giants. They didn't sit up well in a stoppage. Josh Kelly rolls out of a stoppage, they kick a goal. This time, as the coaching panel for the Swans, you go, look, so if you just stick to the plans, all that sort of stuff, and you convert your big moments as a young group, look what happens. Good things happen. And I think you touched on it there. It was their young players in the last quarter that actually won it. McInerney kicked a goal, Ollie Florent, young McLean. So they were all the goal kickers for the Swans in the last quarter. So you just think, again, another big tick for their young group.
What about those umpiring decisions at the end of the game? I know they have since put their hand up and said that they got it wrong, but it doesn't make Geelong feel too much better.
No, I guess a lot of people down in Victoria, because Geelong's been such a good side for so long, going, ha-ha, footy karma, got you. Because really, they probably had one that went their own way against Brisbane in the early rounds. The umpire, he got the decision wrong, and they admitted that, but he was trying to do the right thing. He was trying to call it early so then all the players could get on. So as soon as it went off the boot, he's called play on, which he shouldn't have done. That was his error. The ball did go 15 metres. A lot of people are saying then, well, maybe it should have been a free kick to Geelong at the very end of the siren, the holding ball, but that wasn't holding the ball either. So, yeah, you got the first one wrong, the second one right. So some go your way, some don't.
Joel Selwood said, captain's challenge. Maybe it's time. No, obviously, no. It's there in the NRL. You're a no, no, no.
No, it's... No. Just because you have a wise decision, don't then go change but the entire rules and landscape. I'm massive on don't make rules for the exception. If it becomes an absolute pattern in your game of football where everyone just goes, look, we have to do something about it, you don't make a call on a decision or bring in a new rule to the game just because you lost the game.
Gee, you're mostly impartial these days, Jimmy. I'm impressed.
No, I even think this broadly about the game in general. They want, a few years ago, there was too many players on the field. The Swans did that. They had 19 on the field. They spent the next 2 years creating these interchange systems. It's like, you know, all we had to do? All we had to do was just smash the Swans for making the error, and we didn't have to create all these stupid rules.
Now, Frank Costa, a former Geelong president, died aged 83. I can only imagine that he meant so much, not only to you, the footy club, and the whole Geelong region. For, I guess, those of us in New South Wales in particular, tell us how big a personality in person was Frank Costa.
Oh, enormous. And I think the right word is an icon for Geelong. Everybody in Geelong, which is a huge area, knew Frank Costa and what he did for not only the community. He's probably patron or donor of probably about 30 different charities. He gives his own money. His family does. They've been very successful in a number of businesses, especially the fruit and veggie business, but property and everything alike. But they give so much back to the community. But when he came on to Geelong, Geelong was a basket case. They owed over $10 million in debt. The stadium was pretty much collapsing, and the AFL said, you can be called Geelong by name, but we'll probably move you up to Melbourne. Now, Frank, part of his board and all that, took over. They, you know, got him financially stable. They got a magnificent stadium down there, but he really did have an impact on culture. I know those words get thrown around a lot, but he went, right, we're going to become a values-based club, so we can hire good people, and then we can teach the talent after that. And he was true to his word, and since he got there, Geelong's pretty much been in the finals for the last 25 years. It's successful, they're stable, beautiful big stadium down there, and he'll be sorely missed.
Yeah, he certainly will be, and I'm sure that everyone that had anything to do with Frank Costa would be quite sad with his passing. With the Giants, though, Jimmy, I always said there's a chance of winning the competition.
Yeah, just slowly chipping away at the moment. We're not getting too ahead of ourselves. The good thing is we're getting some good players back. It helps, doesn't it, when you get your best players back in the side. Lockie Whitfield, who had that freak injury in pre-season, which damaged a bit of his liver. Jesse Hogan, at his third club, and it's had issues off the field as well as on the field. Comes straight back in, four goals. So just starting to get some good troops back and playing some better footy, which gives everybody else some confidence.
What about Toby Green re-signing with the club? That's an important signature.
Yeah, that's awesome. He's embraced the club from day one. Like, as soon as he got up there as an 18-year-old, he just absolutely loved being up in Sydney. He's one of those players, and there's a big group of players, and more are starting to lean this way in AFL. I actually see the attraction of playing for one of the four northern clubs, like for the two in New South Wales, and then you throw in Brisbane and Gold Coast, where you can train and go about your business during the week, and then you sort of get your AFL player on the weekend by going down to Victoria and playing, and then you come back home. So some players just like that balance in their life, and he's one who certainly does, but he's an incredible form at the moment. I think now a lot of people in Victoria and South Australia, Western Australia, even though they don't want to admit it, we love watching him play.
Yeah, he's a good player. I love the way he goes about it. He's just very competitive, and I think the leadership has really improved his game, but that's another story. What about Josh Kelly, mate? What's going on with him, and can we expect him to take up that option, or will he go on the open market?
Well, he's got that option. He's got one that you, maybe one other player has a player option, where they can choose to pick up their own contract. Almost sounds like American sports there. I guess that's a decision for him to make in the coming month. He's certainly back to playing some really good footy. He's had a bit of a shift to the half forward line, which he's a great ball user, hard runner. So moving into the half forward line, it's been good for him. It's also been really good for the Giants. It's no coincidence we've started to win a few more games and use the ball a bit better since he's gone there. But I guess because it's such a long contract extension, I think there's no issue with him taking his time to think about it, because obviously he's gone from being a teenager up in Sydney to now he's mid-20s, and he's going to, that 7 to 8 year deal, that's committing yourself for a long time. So with his partner and everything like that, so there's no issue with him taking some time to think about it.
Jimmy, is there any cons for not signing a long contract like that as an AFL player? Like, to me, if it gives you that security, like you say, particularly if there's family involved, is that not just all pluses for the player?
I'm with you, Clarky. If someone ever put like an 8 year contract to me, even though you go, I could at one stage for 1 or 2 years make more, I'd still take the 8 years.
Definitely.
I'm just that way. Why? That sounds like you would be too. Go take the security. All right, what am I doing else in life? I've already got my footy settled. I'd take the comfort in it. But I don't know. I guess some players think, they look at it and go, what if I jump ship? Would I miss out on playing here, or would our team still be successful over the 8 years? But no, I'm with you. I'd take 8 years. Wish someone offered me 8 years.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Hey, Jimmy, Melbourne are the only...
deal.
now, Jimmy, Melbourne are the only undefeated team in the comp, and the other team that was undefeated going into last weekend's round were the Western Bulldogs. Now, the Dogs lost, and the Demons won, albeit against North Melbourne, but people are starting to question their credentials. Are you jumping on that bandwagon, or do you still see them as very hard to beat?
No, Melbourne very hard to beat. I think some questions are being raised. They had Adam Tomlinson go down with an injury, which he's not their biggest star, but what he does is, structurally, what does it do for Melbourne? Because what he was doing this year was he'd almost play the real Dower defender role, which allowed Stephen May and Lever just to play really aggressive defence, attacking and mark the footy. So a lot of people are thinking, does that mean one of those guys have to go outside what they're doing really well, or do you bring in someone, or you shift the deck chair? So I think a lot of people are just going, well, what Melbourne do next. I think they've still got unbelievable talent still to come in from their VFL side. So I think they're just thinking about who's playing and who's playing where. With the Dogs, it sounds strange, but sometimes a loss like that can be a real positive. So their midfield has been, you know, touted as the greatest ever, and, you know, the old drink the bathwater sort of stuff. Geez, we're going well. And they got absolutely torched in the midfield. So sometimes you just need a little clippity clip around the ears and go, look, if you don't do everything right, anyone can beat you. So I think it might be that little just straighten up for the Bulldogs at the right time.
All right, we'll have all your selections on our socials. Just on Melbourne, actually, Christian Petracca, is he worthy of a 7-year extension?
He's an absolute gun at the moment. He's closing in on the top three players. Well, at the moment, he's probably in the top three players in the game. And you've got to always preface this because you get a lot of angry Richmond fans. He's not Dustin Martin, but the way he plays the game is like he can control it. Like he can just grab the ball, goal, take anyone on, beat his direct opponent. Fends off. He's playing that style of footy at the moment.
Jimmy, this is from one of our listeners in Cronulla. Is it a problem for the AFL? The current bottom five clubs are all big traditional Melbourne clubs. So you've got St Kilda, Essendon, Hawthorn, Collingwood, North Melbourne.
Oh, I wouldn't say St Kilda and North Melbourne are big traditional Melbourne clubs. The problem probably is Collingwood's probably the biggest out of that. I think some of them are going through a bit of a cycle at the moment. Hawthorn definitely are. Hawthorn have been, you know, up there playing finals for so long or thereabout. It's clear they're just absolutely getting some young talent in the door and seeing who can play at the level. So they're going through a transition. North Melbourne, we know they've burnt to ground. They're doing a rebuild. Probably Collingwood is the big concern, I think, for them.
Mate, you go and have a great weekend.
You too.